Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express.
Jaguars Thursday.
Voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Now.
All right, here we go from the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Brian Sexton with Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli. Boy, we have a lot to talk about tonight. The Jaguars have been uber aggressive in free agency.
Uber, before, big
uber,
word.
Yeah, uber.
Big word.
Uber.
Did you say goober?
Uber.
Oh. Ooh. Clean the wax out of your
ears. I thought you said goober.
No.
Like, that's not a very nice thing to say about our free agents.
Incredibly aggressive. And a week ago, we talked about this and thought that they would go out and grab a guy. So my question to you before we even dive into the roles that these guys are going to play and your analysis, because I know you watched the tape today, Jeff, is... are you surprised at how active they have been the first 3 days?
I'm surprised how the entire league has been active.
$1 billion plus committed in contracts in the first three
crazy.
Days.
Crazy.
That's because partly because the cap went up more than they even thought.
What, 9, 10% almost?
Yeah, 10%. Yeah. I mean, so all of a sudden there was more money than they had planned on, and a lot of free agents, guys restructuring. And
but, I mean, you guys both talked to Dave. You, I mean, and Gus, I mean, we – you know that they were going to do something. Did you think, though, that they would have as many guys through the doors?
I thought that they would have two or three guys clearly targeted within the first, 5 days. But, it's a little different now than in years past. And I think, for us to get used to that adjustment period, because you had that negotiating period, which was from Saturday to Tuesday.
Right. Which really meant it was from Thursday.
Yeah, so I mean, exactly.
In other words, they were going to cheat no matter what.
So I think
not the Jags alone, but the league.
But I think that window kind of accelerated everything, and then you add in the additional cap room that teams had to spend, and then some teams ended up having to make hard decisions, like Steve Smith in Carolina, DeMarcus Ware in Dallas, and all of a sudden it made the market go boom.
Well, two things. One, the Jags still haven't put big money on anybody. It's not like they went after what everyone would say is the quote unquote tier one, the $8 to $12 million a year guy. I mean, these are mid level deals. If you look at today's NFL, what guys are getting paid, that's the first thing. Second thing, the $1 billion spent is a misnomer, because the reality is about half of that will actually be collected by these players, because a lot of them are silly money, big contracts that, look. Darrell Revis.
Agent inflated numbers.
Agent Darrell Revis, 2 years, $32 million, 12 of it's year one, which is guaranteed, $20 million in year two, which the Patriots, what that does is forces the Patriots to do something for year two. I mean, either cut him or pay $20 million.
But still. Or give him a new contract.
Yeah, that's my
tear
point.
Tear that
yeah,
up and
yeah.
give him a new
so
contract.
It's a little bit of silly money.
Half of that number, though, is still a lot of money.
$12 million? I'd take it.
No. Half of $1 billion is still a lot
of
money.
Oh, yeah.
But that's
a lot
of money.
It's a lot of money. Now,
Raiders
listen.
You have to be very happy.
After a year last year, that was very.
Yeah, no, mean. That's what I mean. Absolutely.
It's a good deal for the players. But, and so you asked about the Jags. Am I surprised? Maybe at the speed, but not at the volume, because I thought this is what they'd do. I thought they'd go after that mid-level salary guy that maybe is a young player as a backup looking for his first opportunity, like a Gerhardt, which is, I think, is a very good sign. I like that. Or guys being cut, like Clemens and Bryant, that know the system, where they can fill in and get day one starters. This team needs roster fillers, Zane Beadles, guys who can step in and start day one.
Let's go chronologically with these guys, and let's go back to before the free agent period began and
Red Bryant.
I keep wanting to call him Barber, but the sportscaster. But the big guy from Seattle.
Red. Big, solid. First and second down, run-stuffing defensive end, and I was just talking – me and Tony were just talking before we went on the air, and that if anything within
his
two arms length of his wingspan, he's got it covered. I mean, he's just that big of an immovable force. Now, he's not going to give you much in pass rush. He's not going to chase the ball from sideline to sideline. That's not what he does, but he can hold the point and hold it well.
He's a system guy. In the sense that he does something this team needs, is plays that big five technique, heavy defensive end, that Gus Bradley was the defense coordinator in Seattle. It's his defense. That's what he was. He was very good at it. Someone who's not going to get pushed around in the run game. This team was not very good at stopping the run. They were not very big up front overall. They needed size. And so Red Bryant is a guy who fits a need. If you compared this free agent signing to the draft, do you draft the best available player, or do you get the best player that fits your need and your system? This Red Bryant fits the system of what Gus Bradley wants to do on defense.
And let me add something with Red, because Red can kick down and play inside.
Absolutely.
Because he's a big man. Ziggy Hood, who I think they're probably looking at maybe having him back up a send Derek
That would
Marsh.
Surprise me a little bit.
I think he's an okay player. Would they give him $4 million average a year?
That's what it seems. Years, $16
million. Yeah, might be a little high for him. But, you know, he's a good, solid, dependable player.
If I'm not mistaken, he was a guy who was a first-round draft pick for the Steelers. Tests off the chart. Strong, bench, run. Like one of those physical freak type of guy. I mean, just what he can do. I wonder if, as they evaluated him, as Dave and Gus and the staff evaluated Ziggy, they saw a guy that maybe didn't fit in the 3-4 defense of Pittsburgh. Never found home.
And let me explain
the two
that.
Gap type of player.
Yeah, because in Pittsburgh he was solely a left defensive end.
Two gapper.
And they basically play that left defensive end for them plays what I call a read 4-eye. All they do is mirror an offensive lineman. They don't do anything vertical up the field. I know you do because you knew exactly where they were going to be.
It was so easy.
But he was one of those type of guys that basically kind of like a Red Bryant role, and that, hey, it's not going to be a flashy type of player when you play that role, but he's an important part of the defense, and he's a big movable object, kind of like Red Bryant, but he's got more mobility.
And so I wonder if he is one that you wake up a year from now and goes to the three technique, which might be his more natural position. Can you know? So if there are 65 snaps and you're going to give Senderek 40 and he gets 25 of those, where he now can use his athletic ability to one gap, get up the field, create havoc. Listen, there's a lot of times. I'll never forget. In 1995, we played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They were a 3-4 team. They had Warren Sapp playing the 3-4 defensive end. He was a head-up player on me, and he was awful. I mean, he was terrible. A year later, Tony Dungy comes in and puts him at the 3 technique, one gap up the field, and he turns into a Hall of Fame player. Now, was it part of it because from year one to year two? Sure. But more than that, he went from a scheme that he was never going to be good at. I'm convinced if that defense would have stayed and he was forced to play that 3-4 defensive end,
would have been an average player.
Average player. They put him as a 3-4 guy. I mean, a 4-3 technique. Hall of Famer, dominant player. And so I'm not saying Ziggy Hood's going to become a Hall of Famer, but maybe they saw something on film. Wait a second, this guy's explosive. He has that quick twitch. He's powerful. He's strong. Let's give him a 3 technique, maybe where he can be more natural.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about Zane Beatles, Dakota Watson, and all the other Jaguars signed in free agency this week. You're listening to Jaguars Thursday on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, this portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. Tony Buscelli and Jeff Lagerman are here. You can join us. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. The Jaguars have been busy. Red Bryant, Chris Clemens, Jason Babin, Zane Beatles, Dakota Watson, Toby Gerhart, and Will Blackman re-signed today as well. So they have been working on their roster. And we found out early Tuesday, I mean right after 4 o'clock, that the Jags had made that move that I think both of you talked about, and that is getting a guard.
I watched Zane Beatles today.
Yeah, I mean, you watch
big, solid, mauler, dependable,
tough guy. That's what you need. I mean, listen, you could argue in Denver that the guards and centers were more important than the tackles because of the way that Peyton Manning sits in the pocket with no depth, and you got to be firm and strong. And Zane Beatles is a good player. And one of the things that you like about him is his reliability. He only missed 3 plays all of last year, and there were plays at the end of the game where he was taken out, not because of injuries, because mm-hmm. the game was over. And so he's a guy you're going to count on week in and week out. He is a tough guy. He's a good player.
He's a smart player.
And he's a young player. So, you figure his best football's ahead of him.
You know, when I watch an offensive lineman, you know, from that old defensive lineman mentality, you always want to kind of watch for false steps, you know, where a lineman doesn't anticipate what he's going to be seeing. And Zane Beatles always anticipates, is always in sync with his offensive line. That's a very good signing for this football team. The only one that I probably would have maybe have said, okay, I would might have been happier with another guy, not that I know a ton about it, but the guard that the Falcons were able to sign.
Asamoah,
who we liked. We talked about
Kansas
him,
City,
actually.
Kansas City, young guy.
Being a very good football player, but Zane Beadle's a very good signing.
All right, so here's the question now. What do they do with the other two spots? Can they wait until the draft, or do you think they've got to go find a center?
I think they've got to find a center.
There are some in the free agent market beyond Alex Mack, who was transition tagged. Neither the center, Dietrich Smith from Green Bay, nor De La Puente from New Orleans has signed. When things settle down a little bit, I mean, do you go find a center or can you be patient?
If they don't, then, you know, Mike Brewster's the starter. You know,
yeah, that's,
I like Mike Brewster as a backup and as a swing guy.
I thought you were about to say you like him as your starting center.
No, I think he lacks some strength to play that center position, and we're in agreement on that.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I said this earlier tonight. Actually, we were upstairs talking to some of the Champions guys, and the question was asked about center. When did this team send Derek Marks? About 2 weeks into free agency?
Yeah, it was ways into it.
Ways into it. And my point of saying that was anyone thinking send Derek Marks, I mean, was on?
No.
But he was a guy who came in and was a major contributor, is a guy that they see now as part of the long term.
Oh, absolutely.
He's a very good player. And so my point in saying that is, don't jump to any conclusions. Don't get worried. Don't assume anything just based on what happens the first week of free agency. There is a long road to walk before you get to the draft, and there are going to be plenty of other players come in and out and opportunities to sign guys at very good prices as you aptly stated, as the market calms down. So I think I would go sign both in the free agency. Not saying I wouldn't draft a guy still,
right,
but you need depth. I mean, you need competition.
Well, the question is, can you afford to be patient, wait till the draft, and then find out what's available after the draft?
No, I would not.
That's a lot to ask a rookie to come in and play that center position in any offense because, I mean, he's kind of the captain of the ship. He's making all the calls, the adjustments. That's why they had value on Brad Meester having him come back.
Well, you mentioned earlier that the Jaguars have not gone to that top-tier free agent. Most of these deals
which I like.
Very logical. Would you still think about throwing an offer out there for Alex Mack? Even be on – or just wait?
I'd wait.
Loggy?
I'd have conversations with him. You know, I mean, because first of all, he's got –
Well, they might be having
conversations. Yeah,
we might have had it. We don't know. But he's got to be willing to talk,
right,
and he's got to be willing to put his signature on a contract that he would be comfortable with.
You want to pay a center $9 or $10 million, though?
Well, no. I mean, by choice, I probably wouldn't. But if he's that good of a player and you need him, you need that position filled. I don't know. You're not paying a lot of money
to pay a center, but he is one of the best.
He's very good.
And your tackles are cost effective. I mean, it's
for a while.
Yeah, for a while. So maybe you can afford to set that deal out there and see what happens. So they got that one done. Then the next one was Dakota Watson, the young linebacker from Tampa Bay. And, I mean, there's some Florida State fans who probably remember him, but I have to be honest, I'd lost track of him over the last couple of years that he's been in Tampa.
You turned
the tape on today.
I went to watch him, the film on him today, and had a hard time finding him because his real name is Gregory Watson. And so I'm looking at Gregory Watson, who's that? You know, so I kept looking for Dakota. Eventually, I figured it out that his real name is Gregory, and so I watched him. In my opinion, this is going to be probably the best signing that nobody knows about yet.
Really?
This guy can flat out play.
How big is he? Because I watched. I remember I did a game of his senior year, actually his last game. I believe it was at the Gator Bowl, which was Bobby Bowden's last game. It was either that, is maybe that was his junior, whatever. I did a game of. I remember he was at that point an undersized, fast, athletic linebacker.
Fast, athletic.
And he's still not. He's not real big.
He's 6'1".
No, but you know what?
That's my point. So right. So
watch
him. Fast.
Watch him take on double teams.
Oh no, no.
And make plays.
He's a good player.
He plays big.
I think what he's brought in to obviously compete for one of those outside backer positions and be a special teams demon.
Well, just watching him play for Tampa last year in a limited capacity, he's going to walk in here and he's going to win a job hands down. It's not even going to be close.
Does he have legitimate pass rush skills, or is it just something they see?
He's got some.
Because he talked in his news conference that was something that they talked to him about.
Which linebacker that the Jaguars have gave them a legitimate threat to blitz? I mean, a legitimate
threat. Geno Hayes was the closest.
Geno Hayes was the best. And it was good. It wasn't great.
You know, I think he even has the ability and maybe play Leo in certain kind of packages to where that, you know, he can be a rusher, he can drop off into coverage. That might be the guy that I'm most excited about, with the exception of Clemens.
Well, and I think, listen, this team needed to get faster at the linebacker position. Needed more speed on the field.
Oh, he can run.
And he can run. And so that's why it is a very good signing. And you, whether he's the starts at one of the outside or is your fourth guy and is
he won't guy. Be the fourth guy.
No, I'm just saying, but either way, or he comes in as a specialist on pass rushing situation, whatever it is, the bottom line, you're better because you got more speed and athletic ability out of that position.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. I never saw the numbers on
okay.
him.
Okay, I didn't either.
I just know that he said that there were a couple of other opportunities to go and visit, and he liked it here, liked what he heard from the coach. And by the way, that was a resounding theme from every player, not just the guys that had played, you know, for Gus.
Does it surprise you?
Yeah, but I mean, how many?
Oh, the money. Is.
How many guys, you know, agreed to the contract terms, and then came down here to sign it, and then met Gus before they actually wrote the name on it.
Now you're right.
I mean, hey.
But the word,
I think the word's out there that this is a place.
The word is out.
Gerhardt in particular talked about the guys that he had spoken with, and he was excited to come down and meet Gus and see what it was all about.
Well, there's no question that the word is out. But I don't want to give people the impression that Gus Bradley has all of a sudden had to turn into a used car salesman when people walk in the door and convince them to sign on the dotted line.
No, but I'll say this, Jeff. I mean,
but the word is out.
The word's out on him.
Let's say this. If I'm going to get $10 million from Jacksonville or $10 million for Tampa, and I'll just leave it in states because state taxes and all that, so it's equal financial money or equal money here or somewhere else. That might weigh the decision towards Jacksonville because I know the culture and the atmosphere I'm going to play in under Gus Bradley. Listen, I'm with you. At the end of the day, money is a major driver in every
what
guy's
it's about.
Decision. I mean, every guy's decision. I mean, they're lying. If you know, you might if you
somewhere
play.
I'm hearing Vic Ketchman.
No, but if you play,
it's about the money.
If you play in a certain
that would be your head.
Now, if you play somewhere for a long time, you might take a little bit less to stay there and the chance to win, continue to win. But if you're a free agent and you're just out shopping your services, you know,
unless you're a guy like a Chris Clemens, who's made a bunch of money, and
I'm talking the first deal guys,
exactly.
First deal guys, they're looking
first free agent deal guys. It's about money. The money.
Well, and as I was walking back from Jason Babin's news conference down the hallway today, I saw Gus and Clemens standing in the hallway, leaning against the wall, like old friends, you know, with a very comfortable, relaxed posture on both. And they were laughing and telling stories. And I didn't go find out any of that. I just paid attention to the body language, which I believe a lot in. And the body language said comfort. And so for a guy like Chris Clemens, he probably got a good deal here. Maybe not a great deal, but a good deal.
I hear it's a lot of incentives.
Well, if he's playing as well as he did before he got hurt. And you said it yourself.
He's an absolute beast when he's on his game.
All right, now hold on to that thought because we've got to take a break here at the bottom of the hour, and I want to get your thoughts on Chris Clemens, the re-signing of Jason Babin. We'll talk a little bit about Toby Gerhardt as well. All of that and more, plus your calls, questions, and comments here on Jaguars Thursday, live from the HannityAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, and you're listening to News, which is next. It comes up here at the bottom of every hour, by the way. Tune into Jaguars.com when you're looking for Jaguars news. And you can join J.P. Shadrick and John Osher every Wednesday for Jaguars.com Live. That's noon every Wednesday. They'll have special guests keep you informed with the latest Jaguars news and take your social media questions and phone calls. Jaguars.com Live airs every Wednesday at noon on Jaguars.com. All right, so once again, news is next. Then we'll talk about more of the Jaguars free agent signings and where they may go next with Tony Boselli and Jeff Lagerman. News is next, folks.
Welcome back to the HannaniaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, so welcome back. Jaguars Thursday, Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Boselli from the HannaniaAutos.com studio. Toby Gerhardt. That one caught me a little bit off guard. Your thoughts on Gerhardt, the player, based on what you saw on tape? I know you watched him at Stanford extensively. And then does this mean that Maurice Jones-Drew will be playing elsewhere?
Well, a couple of years ago, remember, I was saying I hope they draft him.
Oh, yeah. No, he was terrific. He was a fun guy to watch in college.
Yeah, tough guy, two hands on the ball.
But athletic.
Breaks tackles, got good balance, one arm tackle, one guy rarely brings him down.
Better speed than he gets credit for.
He does. He does. Good, solid player. You know, from watching him on film today, excellent hands out of the backfield. The only thing that I think, if he has any weakness whatsoever, I think his blitz pickups could be a little bit better. But overall, I think he's a good, solid player. And something interesting tonight, Brian, me and you, when we talked to the Champions Club, as Tony did, that topic came up about Toby Gerhardt. And I just threw the question out there to the Champions Club. I said, would anybody here be upset if the Jaguars are not able to get Maurice Jones-Drew?
It was unanimous.
No. That kind of surprised me a little bit.
Well, you know what surprised me was how many people said, hey, he's gotten slower.
Yeah.
I mean, they saw it. Yeah. They watched last year, and they saw that he wasn't himself.
But that surprised me. I mean, and I'm not saying that I feel in a different way or anything. I'm just saying it surprised me because Maurice has been one heck of a great player for this organization. And I'm not saying that, hey, look, they should try to get him back because, you know, he's done what he's done in the past. I'm just saying that kind of surprised me a little bit.
Here's what's interesting, though, is he may not have many options, and not anytime soon. Ben Tate's still out there.
Which is surprising. You know, and I wonder how many teams have made offers to a Ben Tate, and his camp just said, hey, look, you know, that's not enough. You know, I think that's the one position that definitely we know over the last couple of years has been devalued. But Ben Tate is by far the best running back in free agency.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, we say that. Why, I mean, do we not know that Toby Gerhardt is every bit as good as Ben Tate? He never got the opportunity Ben Tate did. Toby Gerhardt, why I like the signing there, you have a guy who's a young guy with very little wear on the tires because he played behind a guy named Adrian Peterson who hated to come off the field. I mean, Toby Gerhardt's a 4.7-yard carry guy, mm-hmm. catches the ball in the backfield. He's fast. Now, listen, let's just say it. The white running back, the view of the white running back is that he's not as athletic. I mean, that's just –
there just aren't many of them.
There's not many of them. And so – and I had a conversation with my friend. He's like, oh, I can't believe you got Toby Gerhardt. He's a Steeler fan. So he's – and I go, Toby Gerhardt, you know, is a great athlete. Oh, no, he's not. I go – Would it shock you if I told you he ran 4.5 at the combine, which would have put him as one of the faster backs, you know, when he came out at 6'2", 231, that he had a 38-inch vertical leap? I mean, the guy is a stud athlete. And so I like it because he's out of the backfield, he has good hands, he is fast, he's athletic, and he's a power back. And so he hasn't had the opportunity, so we don't know what his upside is because he played behind Adrian Peterson. He never was going to get the carries there. He was never going to get the reps. It wasn't like in Houston where Ben Tate played behind Arian Foster, who they rotated more. Adrian Peterson's a workhorse. He's the guy who says, don't take me out of the game unless I'm hurt. So Gerhardt sat on the bench most of the time. And so I'm not saying he's going to be a superstar. I like it. Because I think his upside is much bigger. You got him at a great price, and he is a young man with not a lot of wear on the tire.
Good, solid, dependable.
I like it.
Low miles. You know,
I love
upside.
It.
You know, he's solid and dependable in college. His average in the NFL has been good. You're not sure about the upside. You think it could be high.
I
you
love
don't
it.
Know. But the only reason I say that Ben Tate would be the highest rated running back is that he's proven it. No, he's proven it.
But, Jeff, we saw Ben Tate this year. He was not impressive.
Well, he had rib injuries all year long, and he's still average.
Okay, he's a guy with some wear and tear on the tread. I mean, listen, I'm not saying Ben Tate's not going to be a good back for the next number of years. I'm not saying that at all. But to say that he is head and shoulders above everybody else. Well,
no, I'm not saying head and shoulders. I just think he's the best back.
All right, fair enough. You're probably right there. I mean, as far as what he's done. But looking, if you're going to go get it back, Ben Tate is guaranteed asking for a lot more money than Gerhardt.
Oh, I'm sure he wants $6 million a year.
Oh, I was going to say six plus. So you got Gerhardt at a good price and with the better days of his career ahead of him. And that's what you want out of the running back position. especially in free agency.
All right, about the time that Gerhardt was being introduced to the media here yesterday, word came out of Seattle that the Seahawks were parting ways with Chris Clements. So, I don't know, maybe 15 minutes afterwards, there was a tweet from Albert Breer or Ian Rappaport saying he's on his way to Jacksonville. So, your thoughts on, he's going to be 32, mm-hmm. or he is 32, 32-year-old pass rusher coming off of an ACL a year ago, Chris Clements, go.
He's still a stud. I mean, he's still a stud. He had, what, 4.5 sacks?
Right.
And did not even get 1 year removed from an ACL reconstruction until he got into the playoffs. So he did all this within a year of having a reconstructed knee. He's still an impact player. I understand it's an incentive-laden deal. It's a natural fit. He's going to walk in the door, know the system right away, and have a role and fit it perfectly.
Yeah, I like him because he brings the toughness. I mean, he's a nasty dude. I mean, that guy, I mean, he's tough. He punches you in the mouth. He's physical. He knows the system. I think that was just a matter of time. I mean, they were just waiting for him to be cut, and I think Clemens knew where he was going to go as soon as he was
cut. It's funny. He talked about how he and Red had worked, you know, together for the last couple of years, and late last season when it became clear that the salary cap was going to catch up with the Seahawks and they were probably going to play elsewhere, they talked about playing together. And so he talked specifically about the opportunity to come to play with Gus, but also to play with Bryant Red. And Babin, who he's close with as well. So you've got an interesting dynamic. And then Babin came in right after him and talked about, you know, how he had played with those two guys and how he, and this was his quote, because I said to him, you know, was this attractive to you to come back seeing these guys? And he said, it was subliminal last year. I kept saying to Todd Washington, writing names on the board, Bryant Clements, Bryant Clements. It's an interesting dynamic in that room.
It's interesting. So let me ask you this, though. So there's only so many Leos that are going to make the team. And so right now you have three in Babin, Branch, and Clements. And so if you go draft a guy.
You got more than that.
Well, I'm talking, who else?
You thought Watson could play that, right?
Well, No.
The guy we were just talking about with the Champions Club made the interception in Houston.
Oh, Ryan Davis.
Ryan Davis. So there's four. And then if you go
– good young player.
Good young player. You talk about the draft. I mean, if Clowney drops to you, if the –
Khalil Mack.
And so I'm glad Babin's back, but it's curious to me that he came back. I mean, it's going to be a crowded room. I mean, it'd be interesting.
Competition is a beautiful thing.
Absolutely.
Well, they certainly put themselves in a position on draft day to be able to
do whatever you want.
Best player.
Well, yeah, I mean, and hey, if all of a sudden something happens on draft day to where you draft one of those guys, don't you have trade value by having a deep roster at that position?
Or what if somebody? Yeah, I was gonna say, what if somebody comes to you and says, "What would you like to? What do you want for us to move from 10 to 3?"
Oh, that's what you want.
That's it.
I mean, that right there.
Now you don't have to stay and wait for a pass rusher.
I don't care who's there at 3. If somebody wants the third position bad enough to move from 10 up to 3 and will give you a boatload to do it, I don't care who's on the board. I don't care who it is. You take that deal.
You don't agree with that necessarily?
Depends on what you're going to get.
Right? No, I just said it's a.
If it's a boatload.
Yeah, to move from 10 to 3, you got to pay.
I like boatloads.
I'm telling you. Go, you need draft picks.
I've been proven
over
the years.
I'll say this. If you go from 10 to 3 and you can get another 2 this year and maybe a 4 – plus the 10th pick.
Oh, yeah.
All day long.
Well, you know,
whatever. I mean, I'm just saying you need draft picks.
The first thing that struck me, because I went down there thinking Clemens was going to be the interview, and then they came and said, hey, we're going to bring Babin down. He's re-signed. I thought, well, you've just set yourself up to have all the choices you could possibly want on draft day. Any option is open to you. A wide receiver, if Watkins is the guy that you like. If you wanted to, you could take another offensive tackle if Bruce Matthews' son.
Could.
Jake is the guy that you like. You could do anything, or you could move back.
Could. You know, I think, though, the one area, though, and I don't know anything for sure, but seeing what they've done so far in free agency tells me that they're going to get a weapon in the draft.
Sammy Watkins.
And that's the weapon that pops right into the top of my head.
He is
Sammy
a
Watkins.
Heck of a player. Hey, let's grab a quick call before our final break of the evening. We go to the sound side where Saqib is standing by. Hello, Saqib.
Hey, what's up? Hey, Ben Tate is in Cleveland. I just want to let you guys know.
Did he sign with them? Yes.
Yeah, he signed with like $30 million contract with Cleveland.
Wow, how many years?
Yesterday.
I
mean, I saw it on ProFootball.com. That's why I yesterday I saw it.
I didn't see that.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys this. It's a few things before I leave. Tyson Alualu is odd man out, right? Do you agree with me?
Not necessarily. No, not necessarily, because Ziggy Hood may be a guy that plays the three technique. So maybe not.
Okay, let me ask you guys a couple more things. I appreciate you Jaguars going to go spend that money. I mean, this really got me pumped up, because I've been a season ticket holder for a long time. I've been a Jags fan for a long time. And Shad, Gus, and Dave, I trust these guys now 100%. Okay? I'm all in, because they finally said, you know what? What we had last 2 years, we don't like. We need to go get pass rushers. And there's no excuse right now why we should not get a bunch of sacks this year. Do you agree with me with that?
Yeah. I mean,
and I hope they get Sammy Watkins in the draft.
And by the way, Ben Tate has not signed.
Yeah, he
hasn't
signed.
He's not signed.
He visited.
He's in Cleveland.
Visited with Cleveland, but has not signed.
Well, that's I saw it on ProFootball.com.
Nope, he is not signed.
Nope.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate the phone call. Let's take a break. We'll come back. One segment remaining. Jaguars Thursday, live from the HannityAutos.com studio here at EverBank on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HannaniaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
About 8 minutes left in our program this evening. You can join us and talk with Tony and Jeff, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. To Keystone, where John is standing by. Hello, John.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Here's my thought is, you know, Pastor was moved up because he did so good. And I don't want to say degrading him, but if we have a good guy that we could get in as another offensive tackle, wouldn't it even be better to move him back down if he was that good?
In other words, if they decide they like Jake Matthews and he's the guy, could you move Pastor to guard?
Yeah, Pastor to play guard. I would not pick an offensive tackle with the third pick. I think you have your left tackle for the long haul.
Even though San Francisco took two of their offensive linemen in the same draft in the first round?
Not top five.
Well, no, not top five.
Neither of them were top five.
No, you're right.
And so you drafted Luke Jokel because he was clearly the best player on the board, and you knew that you were moving Eugene Monroe out. I mean, you knew that ultimately he was going to be your left tackle. I just don't know if you want to now go back-to-back and spend a third-round pick on the right tackle.
But if all of a sudden somebody gives you that boatload and you move back,
it changes it because you get more draft picks.
There you go. It could change.
Yeah. I'm just saying at three, I wouldn't.
What did, by the way, what kind of a deal did Eugene Monroe get?
About $10 million a year. I think
No. Seven.
No, he got more than that.
No. Go look at it.
I will.
It was five. It was
five. The tackle market exploded, though,
no,
and all of a sudden
you,
he
right,
took
it. It was 5 years, $38
million. Okay.
He got less than Saffold before it got voided out.
Yeah, that got voided. And Saffold, how about Veldier?
About the same as Veldier and quite a bit less than Albert. That was what they reported the day he signed.
Okay.
Now, unless the first.
No, I think you're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
He got. I was shocked. He actually got, I got to believe, much less because, and I remember when I was listening to the report, the writing was on the wall. The tackle market was drying up. The tackles did not get the big $10 million deals. Brandon Albert.
Well, there was four or five guys that were going to be
no,
in play.
Yeah, but and there wasn't any All-Pro. None of them were All-Pro. I mean, Brandon Albert got the most of any of them.
No, you're right. You're right on the number. It was a 5-year deal, $37.5 million.
He got the same as Valdir, who got $35
million. Valdir, yeah.
Valdir. And actually, the one that shocked me, Saffold got more than Eugene Monroe before the deal got voided out by Oakland. He got 42.
Yeah, which was
that was
shocking.
Weird.
I think he got rejected medically,
but then the
by Mark Davis.
So is he out on the market?
No, the Rams signed him.
He re-signed with the Rams for a lot less money.
Not a lot. I mean, a lot less, but he still got I think 35 or 32 million.
No, but it was like $10 million less than total money.
Yeah, $10 million less, but still a lot more than I thought Roger Saffold was worth. Yeah. Is my point. So I was shocked that Eugene. I thought Eugene would get near Brandon Albert, but he got a lot less than Brandon Albert. So interesting.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. So
let me just kind of tack on to that. We were kind of having to talk about Mac, the center in Cleveland. So if you've got.
Maybe not to pay as much.
Well, I mean, if you're paying free agent left tackles, true free agent left tackles, you know, $7 million a year.
But none of them are – but Alex Mack is all pro.
No, I know.
They're not all pro players.
I know, but a different –
they're the very thing –
different
Eugene
position.
Monroe, and I'm not taking shots at him, but he was what we said all along. He's a good player, but he
– what do you think fair money –
has great potential, but has not
fair money
at
for Alex
level.
Mack. Fair money for Alex Mack.
I'll say this. If you could get him for 8.5, I'd take it right now. I go get him.
Okay, I'm in agreement with him.
The market value set by what? By
it's all
Ryan
offensive
Khalil.
Linemen.
All of them together. It's all,
no,
all
offensive linemen.
Transition
but,
tag is.
But
I
don't
think,
you look at the deal that some of these centers have gotten in recent years?
Sure.
There's two in particular. Khalil's the only one I can remember. He got a deal worth almost $50
million. Yeah. What was the guarantee though? That's what you got to look at.
All right.
That's, well, all, that's,
you know,
all that matters.
Total numbers on the contract.
It's a waste of time.
So
to look at.
Crazy that they just don't make any.
But
sense.
I was surprised Eugene did not get more. To sum up my thoughts, I thought he would get Brandon Albert or more. But the left tackle market, it was interesting. In years past, a guy like Mike Wallace, who was not an all-pro or Pro Bowl wide receiver, got Pro Bowl money for that position from the Dolphins.
That's what happens
so
in free agency.
A lot of times you see that, but it didn't happen this year in the tackle market. You didn't see the huge dollars, the 9, 10, like Clady. Well, I mean, Clady's deal never leaving was almost $10 million a year, if I'm not mistaken.
Big-time money.
Who is the best left tackle in the game today? I've got a thought. Who do you think, Tony?
Let me go through my Rolodex of guys.
Look at the helmet chart up there.
Okay. I'll say the two I like the best are Clady and Peters.
Peters?
Peters is a stud.
I would say Dwayne Brown in Houston.
No, Clady and Peters better than Dwayne Brown.
And
Dwayne Brown did not have a good year.
Yeah.
Joe Thomas is not a physical player.
Joe Thomas doesn't get physical on rundowns, but the guy that I've really kind of really started to love, Joe Staley. Joe Staley
He's a good football player, but Peters and Clady are both better. Peters and Clady are guys that you can say you're one-on-one with that guy for the rest of the day, and we're not helping you.
What money did Peters get?
He was coming off the Achilles, so he got good money, and I don't remember what it was. But
okay.
Those two are the best, in my opinion.
Did you see Minnesota at all this year? What about Khalil's brother, the kid from USC?
No, I didn't see Minnesota this year. His rookie year, he was outstanding. Yeah. I mean, he played really well. I didn't watch one Minnesota game.
I watched a little bit of him.
And so I have no idea.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought he was really good his rookie year.
He's not in that upper tier.
So
Brandon Albert got paid like it. Does he belong in
the
upper tier?
I think Brandon Albert's very good. I think he's one of those guys that – the body, the size. I think he's a good pass player, very athletic. I get the sense watching him, a little bit of an underachiever. Like he could be more than he actually is because he's so talented. It'll be interesting. But I think that's a good signing for the Dolphins for the money they paid. I think
underappreciated in Kansas City.
Absolutely,
no doubt.
I think he's.
It'll be interesting to see
Eric. He's better than the other guy that got.
Because now we're gonna see. Okay, Fisher and Jokel now at left tackle.
Right, now he's in.
That's the expectation.
And I'll say this, Eric Fisher is not Brandon Albert.
All right, no. Let's really quickly grab Will in Orange Park. Will, you got less than a minute, but fire your question at these guys.
Yeah, what's up, guys? Tony, good to hear from you. My question was, you guys talked about potentially going after Sammy Watkins or an offensive tackle. When you look at their offseason signings, to me, I mean, the only quarterback on the roster is Chad Henne. It feels to me like they're kind of showing their hands that they're definitely going to take a quarterback in number three.
I don't think there's any chance to take a quarterback at three, in my opinion.
I would be surprised if they did. And by the way, Chad Henne is not the only quarterback on the roster. They do have
– Matt Scott.
Matt Scott and
– Ricky Stanzi.
Ricky Stanzi. But we were talking about this earlier. The owner said they're going to draft a quarterback, maybe two. Do you think David Caldwell is going to draft a quarterback?
One.
Oh, he's drafting a quarterback. I just don't think it's number three.
Right. Right. Second round, third round.
They're going to draft a guy. I just don't think it's number three.
Right. All right. Well, that'll do it for the program this evening, folks. Been a busy week here. Do you guys, real quick as we sign off, do you expect the Jags to go quiet for a little while here, or do you expect their mentality to be go get what you want?
It all depends on the deal.
What's available.
But I think the $4 million a year.
Those guys are done.
Yeah, I think those deals are done.
All right.
If you do get some people in the next week, it's going to be lower tier.
All right. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great night, everybody.